Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her, in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, by the lakeside you renewed your call to your disciples. Help your church to obey your command and draw the nations to the fire of your love, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Psalm 100. Now break forth into exclamations of joy and gladness, you who serve the Lord. God is not dead. He is ever our God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his children and servants. And his love for us never runs out. His care and concern for us will go on forever. Let the world see our manifestations of joy. Let us lift up our voices in songs of praise and surrender our lives as continual offerings of thanksgiving. Let us bless his name forever. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from Luke 22, beginning at verse 24. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, In this world the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
And so we declare our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I would invite you to check out the website for all up-to-date notices. And should you not already be a church member donating by Pax, if you would like to make an offering, you may do so on the parish website. Thank you.
Luke chapter 22, verse 27. Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Our Bible reading this week provokes a lot of questions. Who is greater, the master or the slave? Who is greater, the managing director or her personal assistant? Who is greater, the admiral of the fleet or the ordinary seaman? Who is greater, the Archbishop of Canterbury or his chaplain? The answer to these questions seem obvious enough. We take it for granted that the great people are the ones with the grand-sounding titles. They're the leaders, the ones who take the big decisions, the ones who have status, the ones on the highest pay grades. They have authority and they exercise power. The lesser folk are the ones who have to obey orders, to do what they're told. That sounds easy enough, but there are lots more questions which need to be asked about being great and being small. How do we know who is great and who is small? In some organisations, the pecking order is made absolutely clear. In the army, it starts with the private soldiers, then the lance corporals, corporals, sergeants, sergeant majors, lieutenants, captains, majors, brigadiers, generals and field marshals. You know who is great. It's the ones who are at the top of the pyramid, not the ones at the bottom. They all wear badges of their rank on their uniform. But badges are not the only markers of status. There are also implicit hierarchies in most organisations, even when the members are not given explicit titles. You can usually tell who are the bosses and who are the ones that they boss. But another question, how do people become great or stay small? To be fair, we think everyone should be able to climb the ladders of power. It's only fair that the small folk are able to become great. Society ought to permit plenty of social mobility. Talented individuals should be able to rise. Those who serve at the table should be able to earn their place at the feast. No one should be held back by prejudice or unfair discrimination. Does that mean that we should be full of admiration for those who are most obviously driven by personal ambition? Another question to ask, are the ambitious ones really great? Our attitude to ambition is ambivalent. We like to see people with what's called self-worth, people with confidence and determination, especially youngsters and children who strive to fulfill their potential. We wish them good luck. But we're not so pleased when we think that people are motivated too much by their first thirst for power or public recognition. If our political leaders are driven by personal ambition, then we may well feel less sympathy towards them when they are overwhelmed by the weight of ministerial responsibility. How do we feel about ambition? Is it a virtue or a vice? Do we think that ambitious people are great? Is it great to spend one's early years preparing for a successful career? Is it great to spend one's later years anxiously looking back over one's life and wondering what might be said at our funerals about our successes and our failures? If we worry a lot about recognition, admiration, and praise, is that a sign of strength or of weakness? Are ambitious people really so great after all? We would like to think that people who have a seat at the table have more noble motives than just personal ambition. They should use their positions for the good of others. They should be, in effect, servants of the community. Some of the most powerful people in the country are called servants, called civil servants or members of the armed services. We hope that they're able to see their work truly a service. Truly, that would make them more than just great. This thought might provoke a more fundamental question. Do there have to be such differences between the great and the rest? Can we not all work together for the common good? Could leaders serve, and could servants lead? Could there be such a thing as servant leadership? When I was preparing this sermon, I looked up the word servant leadership in Wikipedia. What I found was not quite what I was expecting. There is a school of management popular in America which uses that name. The idea is that firms should serve their customers, or that politicians should serve their countries. The idea is that leaders should serve their own servants. Leaders should share decisions with their staff, give the welfare of their staff top priority, and help their staff to perform as well as they can. The ones who sit at the table should invite those who wait on them to join in the meal. What do we make of this idea? Is that what we as Christians mean when we talk about leadership and service? Is this what Jesus meant when he asked who is great, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Or did he actually mean something much more radical than that, much more challenging than that? So there are plenty of questions to ask about leadership and service. We can find some answers in the teaching of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospels. There's a story in St. Matthew's Gospel about Jesus and an ambitious parent, the mother of his disciples, James and John. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favour of him. "What's it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom." Jesus was not pleased. He replied that they would have to drink from his cup, the cup of suffering, if they were to sit with him in glory. And even then, they would not be able to choose the seats at the table. When the other disciples heard that rebuke, they were indignant with the ambition of James and John and their mother. The places of authority are not for those who seek them, not for the ambitious, but for those whom God chooses, for the ones that he makes great. Similarly, when there was an argument amongst the disciples as to who should be the greatest, Jesus took a small child and said that whoever is the least of them, like this child, is in fact the greatest of them all. And in another passage, he said that they were not to be called rabbi or teacher, or even called father, because these titles all belong properly to God. "If you're invited to a banquet," he told them, "then you should take the lowly seats at the bottom of the table, not the places of honour at the top. Your host will know what place you deserve." The teaching of Jesus about humility is summed up in the passage that has been read to us today. "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." So Jesus is answering his own question. The ones who are greater are not the rulers, but the servants. In this world, it is the bosses who are great, but it should not be like that for us as Christians. The elders should serve the youngsters, and the masters should serve the slaves. Jesus taught his disciples by his actions even more than by his words. On the night before his betrayal and arrest, he took on the work of a slave. Kneeling down before them, he washed his disciples' feet. He told them that this is the way that they should treat one another. This humble service was what should be expected from those who are called to be lords and teachers. He had set them an example. They should do for one another what he had done for them. After rebuking James and John for their personal ambition, Jesus offered his own life as an example of what true service means. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In our reading, Jesus puts a question to his disciples: who is greater, the one who's at the table, or the one who serves? He provides them first with a common sense answer: is it the one who is at the table? But then he gives his own answer, which is not the same. He says, "But I am among you as one who serves." Our reading is set in St. Luke's account of the Last Supper. This is in the context in which we should see Christian teaching about leadership and about service. For a Christian to be a leader is to abandon selfish ambition, to expect no personal glory, fame, or popularity, to accept hostility, to walk in the way of the cross. And for a Christian to be a servant is to be faithful and obedient, to abandon rights and privileges, and if it is necessary, to surrender even life itself. We live in a world in which it's very hard to realise this ideal. But we can look forward to the coming of the kingdom of God. In that kingdom, there is no Lord but God. In that kingdom, all are servants of God and of one another. So let us pray. May that kingdom come. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, Set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present and online, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts as needing prayer at this time. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee, because thou didst raise him gloriously from the dead. For he is the true paschal lamb who was offered for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we join together in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs unto thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen. Amen.
And so together we give glory to God. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every way to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.